Dear brethren, we are continuing our trek through the London Baptist Confession of Faith and looking at that subject, that part which I have given a title, The Biblical Work of Salvation in the Heart of Man. And as we come to it, we at this point, we're in the 13th chapter, still dealing with the first paragraph. And as we come there, just a reminder, it is what they say, hear what God has done. God, even before he created the world, he had chosen for himself those that he was going to save. He effectually called them. He justified them in the fact of Jesus' death upon the cross on their behalf. He adopted them, brought them into his family. And now we're looking at 13, chapter 13, where the sanctification is taking place. For God is working in the hearts of his people to bring them more and more into understanding and to the life that they would be like Jesus Christ. If you have your confessions or the back of the hymnal, you can read, and I'll just read the first paragraph again of chapter 13 of sanctification. They who are united to Christ, effectually called and regenerated, having a new heart and a new spirit created in them through the virtue of Christ's death and resurrection, are also further sanctified really and personally through the same virtue by his word and spirit dwelling in them. The dominion of the whole body of sin is destroyed, and the several lusts thereof are more and more weakened and mortified or put to death, and they more and more quickened and strengthened in all saving graces to the practice of true holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We're on that last part, and that is, and they more and more quickened and strengthened in the all saving graces to the practice of all true holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. It's easy, it's simple to see that what we're saying here, what the confession, the writer is saying here, that sanctification is a work, and that work is in the process is going on. We're in what we call at this point progressive sanctification, meaning it's going on in our lives even right now. God is dealing with us even as we come here and we worship God this morning. The Lord is helping us by his word and his spirit to even grow closer and closer to Christ, to come to the point where we're putting off more and more of our sins. Remember, we don't believe that we're sinless. The Bible doesn't teach us that we're sinless. Yes, there's a lot of sins that have been put aside and we have had the victory over them, but we still don't believe that we live in this life and there's no sin on us. We fight sin and we will be fighting sin to the day we die. But it's teaching us that we are going to have the victory over sin. And that's the real truth that we should understand here. And as we come to this last phrase in this 13th chapter of sanctification, again it says, and they more and more quickened and strengthened in all saving graces. As we look at this paragraph, we now move to the positive outcome of sanctification, meaning that the work of the Holy Spirit with the Word of God in the soul of the Christian. Dear people, salvation, true biblical religion, is not you and I trying our best to be good people, trying our best to show that we are living in such a way that's different than all of the rotten folk that's out in the world. No, because we'll be just like them if it wasn't for God himself and what he's doing in us. We'll be just like them, no difference than them. But it says here, and they more and more quickened and strengthened in all saving graces. And as we see this, we know what this paragraph is saying. First of all, if what it says here, the process is expressed in what takes place in the soul of the Christian. And they more and more quickened and strengthened. The word quicken, we probably heard it, you know, some is talking about to make alive, to make, give life. But here we're speaking of to give spiritual life. So before salvation, the sinner is spiritually dead. The process we are studying, the biblical work of sanctification in the heart of man, is the biblical truth of salvation and regeneration in the life of a man, woman, boy, or girl that makes them a Christian. Romans 8 and 11 puts it this way, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in him. And the King James put that verse there, quicken your mortal bodies, which means to give life to your mortal bodies or to give life to our humanity. Here we are sitting in here today, each and every one of us. We have a body. We are a person. We know who we are. You can look at each other and see that person. You know that person. You know a bit of the character and everything. But something is going on inside each and every one of us if we are true Christians. Something's going on. And he says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Here we're speaking of now something being done with our bodies. We have the body. You can see this body stand before you preaching. I can see you sitting before me. But the body is the only thing we see. We can't see down in each other's soul, can we? There's something going on deep down in the soul in each and every one of us. But we see and understand we were dead. We have no real life in us until God did something. What God did is when Adam sinned, he brought death upon the whole human race. And now God is saying he's bringing man out of that sin into glory. 1 Corinthians 15:22, speaking of Adam, for as in Adam's sin all died, so also in Christ all will be made alive. This focuses on the reality of our spiritual death due to our connection to Adam and our total sin condition. Brethren, we have to understand that, know that, and know it still exists. We're not going to be out of this sinful body in this life. And so this body is going to fight against everything that's in us spiritually, keeping us from doing what we ought to do to the glory of God. We did not come into the world kind of messed up. We were born dead in sin. Therefore, we need new life. And he says, they more and more quicken. It indicates an ongoing supply of spiritual life. Here the focus is on the day-to-day life of the Christian, how you and I live, and what God is doing with you and I, even through the course of the day. We have a different focus, a different purpose, a different desire. We have a new desire to live for the purpose of God and for his glory. Not to live for ourselves. Yes, we are losing our own self little by little. When we were first saved, we still had everything as far as we were concerned, but our life, our personality, that it stood high on the totem pole of me. But that's been crushed, moved out the way. We're beginning to see ourselves, who we are inwardly. And who we are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, they are more and more quickened, given more life, strengthened. And he says that too, strengthened, meaning to be made strong or to grow strong. Do you feel yourself growing strong in grace, dear people? Do you feel yourself today a little bit stronger than you were yesterday? Or maybe in the course of the week, by the time you go through what you're going, living your life for the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say one day alone, you know what? The things that did bother me before, they're not the same. They don't have the same power on me. This is what he's talking about. Paul puts in Colossians 1 and 11, he puts it this way. Seeking to strengthen, he says, with all power, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. He says, he's given us what we need. It's not us deciding in ourselves, I'm going to be a better Christian. It is God and his work in us that makes us who we are. This strengthening spoken of here is the work that is carried out by his word and his spirit that we saw earlier in this paragraph. Paul prayed for this strengthening of the Ephesian brothers so that they would be able to walk in a manner more pleasing or worthy to the Lord and bear fruit for every good work. Notice in Ephesians 3:16, that we would grant you, that he, excuse me, would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. Holy Spirit working in us is what he's saying. And the fact that we're going to be strengthened, that it's in us, things are going to be made different. We're not going to be the same people. The progressive work of sanctification produces positive results in the life of the believer. We will enjoy progress in sanctification, which will enable us, to gain the victory over certain sins. I'm so glad I can look back and say, the sins that I used to commit, I don't do them no more. But I don't look at that with any pride on this man. I know it's what God has done to make that sin no longer a plague in my life. And this is what he's talking about. And we will be truly strengthened in our Christian walk and draw closer and closer to God and to Christ with a greater love and relationship with the brethren. The people, ain't no such thing as Christianity if you don't love the brethren. There's a lot of people talking about, I love Christ, but I don't even need to go to church, I don't need to do nothing. No, you don't. You don't even know Christ. No such thing. This is making it clear that the Christian will experience growth in his or her Christian walk. Oh, dear people, we pray every day, don't we? Well, maybe sometimes we hit or miss. And sometimes you probably notice when you hit or miss, you are also missing something. And that is the glorious grace and help of the Holy Spirit to progress you on the way. But we know it is from that, what God is doing in us, that causes us to be better Christians. The outcome of the quickening and strengthening is focused upon the spiritual progress of the Christian in the area of saving graces. In all saving graces, the paragraph says where we are. We understand saving, which focuses upon the continued process of the growth in salvation. The word grace has different uses in the Bible. It could be God's grace, the loving kindness of God, the unmerited and unearned favor of God which he pours out upon his people. God received by faith is the regenerated work of the Holy Spirit, which is grace that does that. Then there's grace, which is the spiritual gifts given to the believer, which enables the Christian to fight sin and in progress in the work of sanctification. This is what the confession means by saving graces. These are the graces that are connected to salvation and the work of the Holy Spirit in us. In John 1, speaking about Jesus and who he was when he called, he became into the world, it says in verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verses 16 and 17, for of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And Paul and John, right there, he lets us know that what we find in the Old Testament had nothing to do with bringing true grace. John is saying that before Jesus, all the people had was law. That's all they had. That's all they looked for. You remember if you read the Old Testament, it goes back to that. The law said, do and live. If you did not keep the law, the penalty was death. But with the coming of Jesus Christ, grace came. And that grace was attached to Jesus' death for those whom he came to save. He took their sins upon himself and died in their place. And now we who he died for is under the economy or in the economy of grace. We have been saved by grace. We receive grace. And we are given grace that enables our ongoing sanctification. Brethren, it is a work that is going on in us all times. It doesn't stop. You and I, we may come to a place where we're not reading scriptures today, where we're not doing this. We might not be having devotion, you know, only a certain part of the day. But God's work is continually going on in us. He's not stopping. Paul made it clear what part grace plays in his life. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. 1 Corinthians 15 and 10. Paul is saying that it was the grace of God in him that enabled him to live the Christian life. And we can say it concerning Paul, and to be the man that he was, and to be one who would start the churches. It was God's grace done all in him to make him what he was. And he makes it clear that every Christian will have the same success. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, he writes to the Corinthian church, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. You think of that. Paul is saying, God has not given us a little bit to let us come through and maybe fight this sin or beat this or that. But he says, no, God is able to make all grace abound to you. Everything you need, everything which will be supplied to you. And he says the reason why, so that always having all sufficiency in everything. Paul is saying when it comes to spiritual matters, God is making sure through his giving grace that you will have everything you need. Which one of us can say, you know, the Lord hasn't given me enough to do what I need to do. I am not progressing in the Christian life the way I want to because God is being a bit stingy to me. God is not being stingy to his child. He is not. We cut off the flow of grace when we decide to live for me. We give up and we say, Lord God, it's you who I love, you who I'm going to live for. And Paul says here, you may have an abundance for every good deed. He knows what he's talking about here. He's not talking about just being a Christian, you know, like they used to say about, you know, these holy men. They go up on the mountain someplace and they just worshiping whatever God they thought they had. Paul said, it is not for us to worship by ourselves, but abundance, the grace is given for, and have an abundance for every good deed. Brethren, where does deed come into play? Where does it come into play? It comes to how we live, what we do, how we treat each other. And so Paul is saying, you have the grace that's needed just for that. Paul reminds the Colossian brethren of what they'd receive with the gospel and what effect it had on them. Just as in all the world also, it constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. That's Colossians 1 and verse 6. Peter says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I know there's some people out there in the world, they call themselves Christians. They say they're doing everything all right and so on and so forth. But they say it's all focused upon them. The scriptures does not focus ourselves on us. It focuses upon Christ, and it focuses on who we are in Christ, and it focuses on us with a body of believers. employing in it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Meaning God has given those whom he has saved gifts which are graces for the building up of the body of Christ. Therefore, we all must use our gifts in serving one another. That phrase goes on. It says, to the practice of all true holiness. Here, the writers are saying that we look at our own lives and we see what is taking place in our own lives. In the work of ongoing sanctification, there is a goal or intended end. And that goal we have to the practice, meaning to do or engage in frequently, to make a habit or a custom of, indicating that there is a real and constant work taking place. It is not going doing a thing once or twice and you said you got it, but continually working at something until it becomes a habit. Romans 13 and 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh in regard to its lusts. This is a good way to describe practice spoken of here. You put on and you don't do other things. And that's the only way it's going to be done. You and I have to find ourselves practicing these things. We can't have them in our minds and never look to the scriptures, going to the scriptures, practicing what should be done. But we should be those who are truly living out the truth of the word of God. And he says, of all true holiness. I want to turn you to the scriptures on a couple of these. Now turn to Romans chapter 6. And we find how Paul even mentions this. We know this is the part where Paul is speaking of how God has worked in salvation and what is taking place. He goes into this and he speaks about the fact that in this chapter that we are dead to sin. But he goes and notice what he says. Looking at verse 6 in Romans chapter 6. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. I ask yourself, I have asked myself this, is that body of sin, that person who I was, has it been put to death? Each one of us have to ask ourselves that. Or are we still living in that old body? That old body and all its ways, that if things should be for it and how we should live and what people need to do for me and how people need to see me. If that thing is still alive, something is wrong. That old body of sin, he says here. He said, knowing this, that our old self was crucified. And this is a good picture, isn't it? Christ was laid upon the cross for us. So what do? We do crucifying work in ourselves. When he was up there, our self was crucified with him. Do you see that going on in your life? Have you seen that? Yes, this old, whoever you, put your own name in there. This was me. This is the way I live. But that's gone. And he said, in order that our body of sin might be done away with. Do we think of ourselves, dear brethren, when we think of sin, that what I'm doing right now, I'm putting that sin out of my life. I'm working on every sin. I don't care what it is. I'm going to do all I can to destroy sin in my life. And Paul goes on, notice in the 12th and the 13th verse of this very chapter, he says, now, if he come to that and give you all what takes place there, notice what he says in verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign. That means have the control. Be the king in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. Sin says jump, you say how high. Sin says go over there, you say how long you want me to stay. No, don't let sin reign. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to instrument as sin and unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Brethren, that means that each day we wake up in the morning, we should say, oh Lord God, here I am. I am yours, you have made me what I am, and this body is going to be used for your glory. Every attempt of sin to come in to grab me, and Lord, I know there's some still hanging on here, but I'm going to slay it as much as I can. I'm not going to let that sin cause me to do what I don't want to do or don't need to do. And Paul focuses on what actually should be done. Notice if you turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is making it clear that this is not something that you just hang on to, you know, you kind of mess around with it a little bit, but something is really taking place. He says, he spoke in Ephesians chapter 4 of the unity of the Spirit. Then he talks about the Christian walk. Look at verse 17. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. Don't let life and all it says life is be the very thing that destroy you and cause you to live in such a way. And he's saying, and he starts in verse 17, I'm not going to read the whole passage. He says, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their minds. And he talks about what happens when the mind as they go on. Then verse 22, he says that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the whole old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Do you ever see and think about your body that everything that you get from the world is for the purpose of continuing corrupting it? We know there's some people out there right now. They look at themselves, all the news and everything. They look on these little gadgets that are going on, and certain things are coming in, and it's corrupting them. I have grandchildren, I look at them and say, oh, I wish they would put that thing down. And you hear it start to coming out. In the world, there's nothing but corrupting speech and everything that's coming. But Paul says here, what will you and I do, the Christian, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And we know when Paul says that, he's talking about the Spirit. You have now been given life by the Spirit. And he says in verse 24, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. And Paul goes and he lists down the bottom, note after that in verse 25, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth each one and with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, and do not give the devil any opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one another. You see what Paul is saying here? What God has done by the Spirit and what he's done by giving graces, as he called here, it actually causes us to live a different life. And that life is not a life that is something kind of like, only I see it. It's a life that all the brethren will know about it, because this new life is being now shown and shared upon even the brethren that God has put us with. And so Paul is saying, this is what, to all true holiness, this is what is really taking place, to the practice of true holiness. And he goes on, and he ends this very paragraph with this word, without which no man shall see the Lord. If there is no work of ongoing sanctification in the soul of a person, he or she is not a Christian. And he said, you're never going to, no matter what you do, or religion, and there's a many of them now that has tainted the Christian religion or Christian truth and brought in religions, churches. We have churches all over the place. You hear a couple of brethren even talk about in the past weeks about, you turn on this channel, you hear this guy talking, this had nothing to do with the Bible. No change whatsoever. And he said, this is what we ought to do. We ought to see and understand that that is not the way we're supposed to be here. But he says here, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12 and 14. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one shall see the Lord. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. God has not given us to us for that sake. Oh, we read that? That sounds good. No, it's to put it in practice. It's to make sure we use it. It's an imperative. Now, make this a part of your life. Do this. Romans 14:9 says, so then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Brethren, Christianity is not a one-man sport, one-woman sport. It's a body. It's a body. And this is what we see, and this is what the word is clear about. We are instructed to work in our fight against sin and to earnestly cultivate spiritual graces in our hearts. The writer of the book of Hebrews explained that God our Father disciplines his children, and he tells us why he does this in Hebrews 12:11. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. It is what has brought to us, and we can say the Lord has blessed us because what he gives us. The Lord is the one who gives everything we need. Paul makes it clear that the grace of God in us is what will cause us to live out our spiritual lives to the glory of God. And that's the only way it's going to be, brother. This is teaching us that we are sanctified by the work of God, but sanctification is an ongoing process that includes our work, which is produced by the Word of God and the Spirit of God working in us. Philippians 2:12-13. So then, my brethren, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Oh, dear people, do you really see that? Do we really see what we're doing? It's a work. People who think, and if any one of us come to the place where we think that, okay, I'm a Christian, I'm saved now, so basically everything's fine. I just live up my life. I'm a Christian. I go to church on Sunday, and that's really basically all I got to do. No. No. Work out your soul salvation. There would be work in it. That means every day of the week, you and I are going to be working. We're going to be fighting sin. We're going to be having grace to progress more in our lives. We're going to be doing it through prayer and the Word of God and pleading earnestly that God would even make us a better person today than we were yesterday. And even have some hope of being closer to Christ and one another more tomorrow than we are today. Oh, dear people, you see, this is what progressive sanctification is. And our confession is telling us at this point, in this second, this paragraph, as we come down, basically telling us that it is a work that is going on in the Christian's life. And you and I, brethren, we must find ourselves really working. We can't stop. We can't give up. We can't decide. I remember one pastor, you know, he's supposed to be a minister. Long ago, he's saying, sometimes I just give up. And he said that with sort of glee in his heart. And so, as a matter of fact, he was at a Bible study in the house here. And he said, yeah, sometimes I just give up. And I looked at him. And I was young in the faith then. I didn't know half of what I knew now, but I knew that was messed up. And some people think that. And brethren, you and I should not stop fighting sin and should not stop doing what we can to be closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and using everything. And I believe what we're seeing in our confession right now is the Spirit of God is in us. He's taking the Word of God and He's making us more and more like Christ. But we need to have to get in the Word ourselves. We should come to a point where we say, I'm going to read more of the Bible now than I did before. Because that's the way the Word's going to get in. We read the Word. We go and we say, what does this mean? The Holy Spirit gives us the understanding. And when we walk away from it, we say, oh, I understand more now. But if we just have things in our minds what the Bible said, but never go in and say, Lord, help me. I can remember my young days, and still now, really. Before I read a lot in the Bible, I knew. Before I would read it, I said, Lord, I want you to open up my heart to what you want to say to me today from this verse. And that's what we are told here. That's what takes place. And that's what we can be. And that's the only way we're going to see ourselves growing in the truth and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, dear brethren, may the Lord help us. We got two more paragraphs in this chapter. May God help us to take the scriptures, use the scripture, just like we need food daily. Most of us, we're not going to miss a meal, are we? Breakfast, lunch, dinner, and some snacks in between. How much do we feed upon God's word? Just once a day, you're starving. Once a week, maybe sometimes, you're starving as far as faith is concerned. We need to get into it. I'm not saying you're not saved if you're doing that. I'm saying if you're doing it that way, get on the ball, child of God, because the way we grow is from the Word and that word being put into our hearts by the Spirit of God. It's not going to come by osmosis, come out of the air someplace, poop, come in, and oh, I'm different than I was yesterday. No. Get in there. May God bless us. May God help us to live to the truth that we hear in His word. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. And some of this is not new to us. We have read these texts. We have gone through them. But Lord, maybe we have not seen the depth and understanding of it. Father, we pray that you would cause us to know the understanding of it even at this time. Bless it to our hearts and deepen our souls, O Lord God, that we will be those who will do all we can to live to your glory. And knowing that that cannot be done except by your grace given to us, your help in us, and we coming to you and humbling ourselves, pouring ourselves down before you, asking you to feed us from your word and to bless us by your Spirit as he is given to us. So bless this word to our hearts, our God. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.